Make your way in your Bibles over to Colossians 2 is where we are today. I know the thing that so many of us desire is to get back to the way it used to be, to return to normal. I'm usually a very positive person, and I'm a positive person on this as well. But folks, I want to say to you, we are not going to get back to normal. The crises are going to continue to unroll as they are. The virus things seem to be kind of on a downhill lean, being over with, and then you know the events of the last several days. And so as soon as this crisis subsides, there are others waiting in the wings. We still have not seen the brunt of the economic crisis. And some of you very studious and astute people say, well, the stock market is roaring. I mean, it's up close to 27,000, the Dow is. Folks, that's on borrowed money. We borrowed trillions of dollars. That's $1,000 billion. And we have borrowed, I don't know the last number, $6 trillion and more to be borrowed. That is what is you're seeing in the Dow Jones Industrial Average explosion. When that hits, there is the specter of hyperinflation that is peeking in the door. And folks, I'm sorry, do not anticipate that it's going to be back to normal. We will have a new normal, but it won't be the normal that we remember. Well, with that positive note, I want to give you some hope this morning. Also, I need to warn you ahead of time. You're probably going to find something in our teaching this morning that's going to offend you, okay? My plan, my goal is not to offend you, all right? But you're probably going to find something that you get offended by. So he forgave you, and so you must forgive me, but I'll not say anything that the Word doesn't say. So let's read in Ephesians. We'll begin in verse 6, since that is still the cornerstone. Colossians. We haven't gone that long, have we? Ephesians. Well, we can go there too if you want to, okay? Where'd Ephesians go? All right. Colossians chapter 2, beginning reading of verse 6, okay? We'll highlight verses 9 and 10. Paul says to the church of Colossae, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Notice the word have is not in there. Not as you have received. Have is not in there. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This is all about him, remember? It's not conditioned on what we do. It's about his grace, his mercy, his salvation. So therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, verse 9 and 10. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And verse 10, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Most human beings, and I'm one of those, and you are as well. Most human beings are self-esteem addicts. Now that's a strong statement. I need to support it, okay, and I will. There are two terms that we interchange and we shouldn't interchange because they're two distinctive issues. One is self-concept. Self-concept is what we think about ourselves, all right? Self-esteem is what we feel about what we think about ourselves. Are you with me? You say, well, that's ridiculous. It's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. One is a cognitive conviction. The other is an emotional response. All right? So when I say most human beings are self-esteem addicts, we are addicted to feeling good about ourselves. We are addicted to feeling good about ourselves. So we seek self-achievement. We seek recognition and success and being respected and being liked and being admired and fitting in and included and being significant. But there's one word that we didn't read yet, okay, because it doesn't appear in the ESV, but it does in the King James. There is one word that I believe summarizes this whole addiction to self-esteem as it would be played out in all these descriptors I just gave to us. And that word is complete. So what we're going to look at this morning is being complete in Him. Complete in Him. A state of being complete is largely dependent on being recognized. That's what's going on. And if you run a quick inventory of your life, you will think of the many times in a day's time you think about yourself, what you're going to do, what people think of you, who likes you, who included you, and on it goes. So a state of being complete is dependent on being recognized. Now, here's where I start to get in trouble, okay? Typically for women, it has to do with being included and complimented. And folks, you can throw things at me if you want to, but I didn't create woman. God did. And He created women in a very unique, and I might say wonderful, yeah, I was waiting for He did it right, okay? Even though our culture would try to change that, God got it right in the beginning. He took one lick and He hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, all right? He got it right. But as women want to be recognized. And I have no problem with that, of course, okay? But typically, the point of recognition is based on being included and being complimented. All right? I'm sorry, but when I walked in this morning, and Kelly or Andy's usually one of the first people I see, I didn't rush over to Kelly and say, I just love your hair. I didn't, all right? But I guarantee you, several of you ladies said to one another this morning, I like that color on you. Oh, you've redone your hair. They notice. And thank you for noticing, all right? But that's the way God made you. And so that's the point at which you see that acceptance, that completeness. That's what you're looking for. Now, men, on the other hand, we also seek completeness, but our completeness is based on respect. We don't care what you call us. We don't care if you like our hair or not, but you better respect us. We get our recognition and our sense of completeness by being respected, and we are defined by accomplishing goals. So if you ladies haven't heard that, you're wondering about what's going on, why is that guy so weird and all, catch those two key components of how God made men. Since I'm already in trouble, an observation a few weeks ahead of Father's Day, dads, fathers, fathers-to-be, you are ultimately responsible for this sense of completeness in the lives of your kids. You are absolutely responsible. I'm not saying the mother is not important. Mama's nurture. Okay? And what kids are looking for comes from dads. I mean, when, you know, when a little one falls down and hurts themselves, or a big one falls down and hurts themselves, they don't call for dad. They cry for mama. Because mama is the loving, the nurturing, the accepting one. But dad's the role, father's the role that you have and that I have. I'm a father as well, and you that are to be fathers. For these children that you are with God raising are looking for this sense of completeness. Boys and girls, that's what they're looking for. So a dad who is distant and demanding and critical and demeaning will create a sense of insecurity in that boy or girl's life that will last into their adult years. I've been doing this for well over 30 years now and talked to scores of folks with issues, problems, and concerns. The first thing I want to know is, tell me about the relationship you had with your dad. That is the key. Because this sense of completeness is developed by the father, the dad. And if that dad is not encouraging, loving, accepting, helping, all of those kinds of things, and disciplining, I'm not leaving that out. But if the father is distant, demeaning, critical, and demanding, that sense of insecurity, that sense of lack of completeness is going to be in that person's life into their adult years. Because when it comes down to it, daughters seek to be loved by their dad. Daughters seek to be loved by their dad, and sons are seeking their dad's approval and respect. When that happens, you have a person who can go into those adult years and can bring glory to the Lord as they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Kids are going to have a problem with their heavenly father if they have a problem with their earthly father. So completeness includes a time when there's no stress, those times that we long for. You know, you get the task finished or whatever it is accomplished, and so there's no stress. Something has been accomplished. A sense of satisfaction then settles in. I don't know about you, but I kind of get that about the last of every week after I finish mowing the yard, you know, about 2 hours or so, and I look back and I, all right, yeah. That's what we're looking for. That state of equilibration I've mentioned to you in the past. When everything is okay. And that this completeness is builds into that. And so being complete is so elusive, but it's so sought after. It drives us through our days. It's what we think about. It's what we analyze, we're seeking to be complete, and it's so elusive. It controls virtually all of our activities. And here I'm going to get in trouble again. Even to parents trying to live vicariously through their children. Can I give you some advice, moms and dads? Back off. Quit trying to elevate your self-esteem through what your kids are accomplishing. I tell you what they'll do. They'll just sit down and fold their arms and quit because they're not going to compete for you. They want your love. They want your recognition. They want your support. They don't want you to get your jollies by their success. This desire to be complete lasts until we die, until we give up, or give over to a controlling agent. And I'll be back to that thought in just a minute, so hang with me. Seeking to be complete controls and drives us moment by moment. Like I've said, our thoughts, our actions, our decisions, everything is geared to this thing of being complete. Our goal to be complete sets the boundaries for the decisions that we make. What do I have to do to feel complete? Or what will make me complete? Or what will give me the tension that I so crave from people around me? What gives me status? All of those things we just described. Our goal to be complete sets the boundaries for the decisions we make. Look back over your lives and you're going to find out the things that you have decided to do, planned to do, sought after, had a whole lot to do, if not everything, with it's going to make me complete. Is there hope? I mean, I've painted a pretty dark picture, haven't I? Is there hope? Is there release from the compulsion to be complete? You said it's going to last our lifetime. It is. Is there any hope? I want to read to you verses 9 and 10 again. And this time I'm going to read the last of I'm going to read verse 10 from the King James, not from the ESV. Verses 9 and 10 says, "For in Him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him," the ESV said. Now listen to the King James. "And you are complete in Him." Not He is in you to make you complete. We are complete in Him. Big difference. Big difference. If you are seeking still this thing of being complete, completeness is only found in Christ alone. I just said to us just a minute ago, the desire to be complete and last until we die, until we give up, or give over to some controlling agent. That desire to be complete, that's accomplished by Him, only comes when we die to self, when we give up and give over to Him as the controlling agent of our life. Only Christ Jesus can make you truly complete. It's the only way you're going to find it. It's the thing that you look for more than anything else, but the only way to find it is in Christ alone. We've listed already Paul's admonition in these verses that we read. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus," therefore, let me read that again. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." The have's not in there. The have is not in here, because the have sets it. It was our doing. It's His doing. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." That's a transformation that happens. Because Christ is received, we are transformed. And that transformation makes it possible and expected to walk in Him. The transformation fulfills this compulsion to find completeness, because we are complete in Him when we walk in Him. What you're looking for, folks, is found only in Christ. And you'll never look for it again. You'll be satisfied, because dead people are satisfied. I checked. A few days ago, we were out at the cemetery. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was arguing with anybody. There's no party going on. Dead people are complete. And we know it. So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, satisfies this desire, this innate craving to be complete. And so now the desire to be complete is fulfilled and satisfied, but it's not satisfied by our accomplishments. It's satisfied by His presence. And you say, well, I don't really know if I'm complete or not, then, folks, that raises some flags in my mind. Are you in Christ? If He is present as your Lord and Savior, you are complete and you know it. And you know that you can find nothing of value anywhere else except in Christ alone. You see, when Christ is received, self is denied and crucified. If any man or woman will come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, die to self, and follow me. So Jesus is Lord. Our walk is walking in Him. And everything we do is in Him. Everything we do is about Him. And only He is glorified, not us. You say, I have never heard anything like that. Then open the Bible and read it, because that's what it's all about. That's what discipleship is all about. Jesus is Lord. Lordship means there is one action, and that one action is walking in Him. And walking in Him is following Him. We're not leading the parade. We are following Him. That's what He said. The evidence that one is walking in Him is that the person is not noticed. Only Christ in him or her is noticed. This is a tough place, folks. You say, well, I don't think that's what I bought into. Then you didn't buy into Christ. Because that's what it's about. This is the normal Christian life. But it, compared to the American Christianity, it appears to be abnormal. Always go to the source. The Word of God will tell you what the Christian life is supposed to be about. So moment by moment, in every situation, regardless of the circumstances of the moment, walking in Him is the power for doing what He is doing. You say, well, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. You're getting there. Have you ever tried to follow somebody? I remember as a kid following my dad through the pastures looking for dairy cows, milk cows way back there. And I'd go with him. I was seven, eight years old, something like that. And my dad was looking for cows. He had to find them, okay? They got to be milked. And so I'd go with him. And he wasn't worried about me. He'd just say to me, stay in my tracks, son. And so little old short legs, I was trying to stay up with my dad. And he'd turn and you know, folks, that's all you have to do. Just have to follow Him. You say, that won't be any fun. Well, you're getting there. Nowhere in Scripture He says, go ye there and have a good time. Does it? Denying, dying, following aren't fun activities. Paul has warned us in verse 4 and verse 8. We looked at verse 8 last week. Has warned us of plausible arguments, verse 4, and human traditions and elemental spirits of the world. Anything that is not according to Christ, he said. You see, all of the roles of this life have to be in the context of walking in Him. And these allurements and enticements are temptations to turn and look for completeness in the events and affairs of the world, like we used to practice when we were lost in trespasses and sin. Walking in Christ is a total moment-by-moment practice with a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Literally in every situation, You say, Lord, which way would you have me to go? In other words, where are you going so that I can follow you? And sometimes he said, just follow. Sometimes he will give us the next step. Sometimes he won't. But it's a moment-by-moment practice. Regardless of the circumstances, situations, influences, demands of others, social expectations, or temptations of the flesh, all of that we're dead to. All of that we're dead to. The joy comes in knowing Him and obeying Him, not in the stuff that we gained happiness from when we lived according to the flesh. You catch that, and you are close to knowing and walking as a disciple. Now, I think you can probably figure out that walking in Him is controversial. This life that I've tried to carve out for us is controversial. It will isolate you in your peer group. You will have few friends. And the only friends that you have will be those who walk like you walk. Because you're weird to a Christ-rejecting world. You're not going to be invited to a lot of social events and parties and all that kind of thing. Because we make people nervous, uneasy. They don't want to focus on these kind of things. So you are going to be controversial. And you will be isolated. You will be criticized. You will be condemned. Even by those who are closest to you. Family. Husband. Wife. Parents. If you'll think back on Jesus' life, that was His walk. He was rejected by everyone. In fact, you'll be at odds with anybody who does not walk in Him. That's why this is so precious and wonderful to us. Because when we gather together, we can get rid of all that stuff out there and know that we are gathering with brothers and sisters in Christ who understand us and want the same goals that we want to follow Him. That's what makes this so special. That bond of love overseen by the Holy Spirit who lives in you and me. And so when we come into contact one another, we are coming into contact with one who is like us, filled by the same Spirit. That's what we miss. That's why gathering is so important. Jesus is controversial because of who He is and what He demands. The world, the flesh, and the devil will always be antagonistic to Christ Jesus and those who are His followers. If you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, then you walk in Him. That's a given. That's a given. That's not an option. That's a given. And the good news this morning, you are complete in Him. You don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to establish a new goal structure for the last 20 years of your life or the first 20 years of your life. Folks, this is so radical, it sounds weird. But I'm talking to you about the narrow way this morning. I'm talking to you about following Christ, not carving out a big deal person in a culture so you can be looked at and oohed and aahed over. If you have received Christ, You are complete in Him. And we are complete in Him now. We don't have to wait to heaven. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Disciples, followers of Him. We are complete now. And we will be complete throughout all eternity. Then answer a question for me. If we are complete now in Christ, and we will be complete in Him in eternity, why would we seek to be complete in something now that will not be a part of eternity? Why would our strategy to reach this point of completeness we began with, all that stuff, significance and all that kind of stuff, that is not going to be a part of eternity, why would we be practicing it now? Or continuing to practice now? Why would we yield to temptation that cannot give us what we already have in Christ? You know all those temptations? They look so good. They promise so much. That buzz. Folks, did you know there are no buzzes in heaven? It's one perpetual buzz. And that's what we have now. So why would we yield to temptations that cannot give us what we already have in Christ? Being complete in Him is realized as we walk in Him, never by yielding to the temptations and allurements in this life. When are we going to figure that out? When are we going to understand that's not what you where you find what we're looking for? I mean, why would the practices of the flesh that are simply an attempt to find completeness and never do, why would we keep looking? All of those self-focused venues and plans and desires and strategies are now replaced by the fact that we are complete in Him. Filled you, complete in Him. So now all those questions that you have, and that I have, you know, the can I, should I want to, I need to, you know those questions. All of those, how far can I get over close to this and still be okay? Right? Well, I don't think it's wrong to. Well, that can't be something that would be a problem. Folks, if you're asking those questions, or you have to ask those questions, let me give you one question to take care of all of them. Does my Lord walk there? End of discussion. Don't start the debate. Does my Lord walk there? I am following Him. If He's not walking there, I cannot go there. End of discussion. If He does not walk there, and since I walk in Him, I don't walk there either. And why don't we be bold enough? Why don't we be bold enough and aggressive enough and honest enough with the people that we come in contact to let them know where we walk? Can I share a revealing personal story to you this morning? It just happened a few hours ago. Gathered here for prayer this morning, and so I went home and got some chores to do. And it's kind of easy now because, you know, grass is growing, all that stuff. And so I live on a farm, okay? You can't see me, All right. And so I just put on my boxer shorts. Can't get that out of your mind, can you? And my mud boots and no shirt. And didn't say that, did you, Brandon? Okay. And so I head out to feed some calves. And, you know, I'm running ahead of schedule and everything's going good. And calves all come up and all that kind of stuff. And so I head to the house. I've just been out there about 10, 15 minutes. I head to the house. And all of a sudden, this truck comes roaring down the highway. You know, that's not unusual. They're out there all the time. This truck, though, turns into my driveway. And I stuck between the barn and the house, you know, in my boxer shorts. I was like, can't run, you know. So I just, you know, wait for the guy, and he sees me, and he stops, and I walk over to the fence, and I said, what's going on? And he said, you have black cattle? I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, I thought you did. I live back up there on the high hill above you, and all of your cattle are out into my yard and calves. The thing you don't want to hear. And so I said, it just froze me, you know. And I said, can I be honest with you? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, I know my cows are out in your yard, and I regret that. But I've got to be at Wellspring Baptist Fellowship in a matter of an hour. And I'm not going to be able to take care of those till sometime today. It's a rough old boy, okay? And it just melted. And he said, well, I'm sorry they're out. They're my cows. He said, I'm sorry they're out. He said, I'm going to go over there because you need to get to church. He's not going to church. I can tell that, okay? And he said, you need to get to church. You've got preaching to do. I'll go take care of your cows and calves, and then I'll come back and fix the fence this afternoon. And I thought, it's not hard to be honest, you know. And he could have just cussed me out on the spot, I suppose he wanted to. But there was something powerful that he's saying, this guy has thousands of dollars worth of cows and calves running loose and may get out on the road and get hit by a car. He had already told me that. And this guy is going to forfeit all of that for where he has to be in an hour. And I don't want to say look at me, folks, but if we'll just be honest with the world will be attracted to him who lives in us. That's all I'm trying to say. So this morning, our resolve, the decision for my actions, the decision for my actions was made when I was made complete in him. So your decision, or his decision to fill you, the decision for my actions was made when I was made complete in him. It is who you are. It's a done deal. If you're in Christ, it cannot be reversed. It's not a religion to be practiced. It's a completeness in Christ to be experienced. Complete in him means the stress of fitting in, being liked, being included, being a mover and a shaker, or whatever flesh desire haunts you. That has been taken care of, for you now walk in him alone. Our one and only goal then is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and to bring glory to him. I want you to know something else this morning, and I have to tell you this. I kneel to no one except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not upset with anybody. I'm not angry with anybody. I respect all people. But I've read ahead. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And folks, there will be no kneeling to any movement or whim or whatever else you want to call it. Because when this one subsides, there will be another one. We already knelt to a virus, for goodness sake, as a culture. And as soon as that kind of started to wear off, guess what? Something else to kneel to. Well, there's more coming. If you kneel only to Christ alone, you'll not have to make those decisions out there. But I wanted you to know my resolve as far as that's concerned. The driving force in your family life, in your work life, in your recreational life is really just one life, and that life is walking in Him. You don't segment it out. It is who you are in Christ and happen to have these other areas that you live in, work and family and recreation, all that stuff. So I'll close this morning because I'm already in trouble. Are you complete in Him? It's a yes or no answer. Are you complete in Him? If you are complete in Him, brothers and sisters, then live like it. Live like it. Let's pray. Father, the release that comes to know that we are complete in Christ. That He completes us. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything. He completes us. And in these verses that we just looked at, it's already established that He is the supreme power of the universe. There's no other authority, no other ruler that is His equal. He is the Son of God. And Christ in us completes us. So we don't have to look somewhere else. We don't have to be tortured with all of these tugs of the culture in which we live. The expectations of people around us and even in our family. Because they can't make us complete. We're complete in Him. And Father, I pray that You will give us the resolve and the strength and the boldness to be like Him who lives in us and will live and walk in the completeness we have in Christ. In His name we pray.